The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are we podcasting?
We are right now.
Here's what I'd like to say. I believe we did not tell anybody on the last episode what we were doing.
We didn't say anything. That's going to happen sometimes.
Sometimes Tony's like, stop talking. Let me just roll on this before you get going. And we're like, I had steak and it was delicious.
Right. We're already going. You can't stop us.
We can't stop us.
You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also watch all this beauty. We got a couple of different paint splattered sweatshirts on the YouTube.
This keeps happening to us. Yeah. You can find us on the tweets, on the twits, on the Tic Tacs.
Come see our live show. We write it out. Yes. It's not as a scattershot as this podcast.
Might be.
Well, we'll see. But you know what? It's a fun night. We hear all the time that it like hurts your face or your abs from laughing so hard.
You pee your pants a little
bit. So go to imomsohard.com for tickets. We're in a city near you this summer.
Yes. Summer only.
That's right. Well, yep.
We
that's
got a
right.
couple coming up in
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
In November,
because we just want
to
go.
But that
when
doesn't
it's
mean
the
you can't drive
there.
To Madison, Wisconsin, because we'll be there this summer, and that's a whole different vibe.
It's a different vibe.
Yeah, it's
all right. Give us your hot flash. Is it hot in here or am I having a hot flash?
Yep. Let me turn off the heater that's on 80
Jesus,
currently.
It's on 80. No wonder. I'm like, my skin's tight.
Sorry, everybody. I got so cold in here when I was working on Chris and I like back and forth all the writing for our live show. And I was in here the other day working on it and I couldn't warm up for hours.
Because California's in the upside down, you guys. I'm sure everybody's like,
fuck you, California. Yeah. You know how much I pay for rent?
That's what I'm saying. We pay so much extra for I'd rather have the walk-in basement, quite honestly.
Thank you.
My mom and dad are like, oh, we just went to the lake and we're hanging out and it's beautiful outside. I'm like, I'm in a freaking parka for the fifth day in a row.
I need the extra storage. I need the basement, which I did hear. You know why there's no basements in California?
I thought it was because of the I forget the water table or the sand.
The sand. Yeah, it's more simple than that. Earthquakes. So you don't die in your basement. I mean, I know.
We do have a weird basement. I've told you. It's the where you keep
murder
the
cellar.
It's a murder cellar.
Well, that is a perfect segue into this thing that I had to tell you about.
Okay.
So if you've listened to this, this is not a murder podcast, but Kristen and I love murder like every other woman in the world for whatever reason. True crime, we're into it. And I lately have been going on like streaming and I'm like, I'm Googling what true crime is there that I have not seen.
I know that's a bad day when you're like, I have seen like 5 documentaries on this killer alone.
This particular killer. Yeah, I know.
I've seen this woman interviewed on 5 different shows. I like know what her haircuts are like.
And there's other ones where you're like, oh, that's got kids or what. You're just not going to watch it.
Yeah, there's some that I'm just like not into it.
But so I hit rock bottom last night because I started watching this Netflix special that is in French and German and subtitled, kind of. And this is the gist of it because I'll tell you, it is exhausting to watch subtitles, you guys. I remember a time where I was like into kind of like foreign film and I'd
never.
But now I want to be able to like play solitaire while I watch TV.
Yeah.
Or shop or something like that. And so
they move real fast. I'm like, I didn't get the last word.
If you have readers, Nightmare. It's so hard. Okay. So I'm watching it last night. I hit fatigue, but let me give you the gist of it. This French woman is married to a guy. They have two kids. She starts having an affair.
Okay. Pretty standard stuff.
With the neighbor down the street, a German doctor.
She could do worse.
Yeah. They do get a divorce.
Okay.
The original husband thinks that, like, that was off. But then she ends up back with them.
Back with the original husband?
No, she and the husband. Okay, God, I'm so bad at this. Okay. This is why I don't do Netflix documentaries.
They get divorced.
Let me back it up. Okay. She has an affair.
Okay.
He finds out about it and they end it.
Got it.
End it, quote unquote.
Oh, got it.
Okay. The original husband and starts to suspect she's having an affair again because she's like working long weekends.
Just wasn't near my phone.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that text.
Yeah.
I've got WhatsApp for just the sports of it all. Look, you just know, too. Don't you just get a gut. It's like,
you get a gut.
I text my husband, he doesn't answer, and I'm like, he's asleep.
He's fine.
I fall asleep at 8:30. Sometimes he does, you know?
Yeah.
But this, in this case, the guy was, which will play into this, the dad was like, I just knew she was having an affair. Turns out it's with this guy. They have a very acrimonious divorce. She ends up marrying this doctor, and they move to Germany with the kids. So flash forward almost 10 years, like, you know, he's been visiting the kids long distance. He's still in France. She's like
in
this
Germany.
German border city. The daughter dies.
What?
Supposedly of a heat stroke on a not very hot day, but that the doctor, stepdad, tried to inject her with things to revive her from this stroke that she was having in the middle of the night. However, when the paramedics arrive, rigor mortis has set in.
She's been dead for a long time.
A while. And any doctor knows that you can't inject a dead body with anything to revive them.
No, they're dead.
So he lied about that. So the dad was like, something was wrong. He hired an investigator. This doctor, very well respected, gets let off the hook. He gets let off the hook. Everybody accepts his story. The mom accepts the story. And the dad of the girl is like, uh-uh.
I don't take this story.
So he goes, this guy, there's another guy that's going to enter the story, are my hat flashes. This guy, like, writes the story on paper and puts it everywhere up around their town because he wants to know if anybody knows anything about this doctor. Come to find out, there were these girls who had been treated by him that were like 15, 16. One of them was raped by him in his office.
No.
He does like a news, like he gets interviewed by the local news about it and is this smug, like she wanted it, like she was into it. She would have said no if she didn't want it. So he's like, this guy killed my daughter. I don't know how to prove it. Years later, he gets these women who find, they like hear about the story. It like makes national news how his dad is like, you know, in France and in Germany, because the doctor's in Germany, you know, and this girl's a French citizen. So there's all these complexities. But this woman, there's two of them actually, but the first one, it's years later, she's like, he became friends of our family, came on trips with us, he injected me with stuff, and then had sex with me while I was like somewhat incapacitated. So the dad's like, okay, this is what he was doing to my daughter. This is what was happening. They can't get him out of Germany. He's been cleared by the German authorities. So this guy is all over France going, help me get this guy here. He lost his license to practice in France after the girl came forward, the 16-year-old came forward. But there was a woman, a librarian, an ex-skier who had a knee injury that was like assigned him as a doctor for her surgery and was like, this name rings a bell. Like goes, finds out that it's him.
Oh, I love stuff
I
like
know,
this.
It's so good. So this is going to be a total cliffhanger, but I love this so much. This dad is so enraged. He is so out for revenge. He meets a dad who like just hears the story. Like this French guy, and they have all of these people in the documentary, which is why I'm dying to know how this plays out because nobody's in jail when this story takes place. This French dude's like,
cigarette.
He's literally sitting in a bistro. He's like, I didn't know him. I have daughters, and I, knew he would want this to be resolved. So I went to him and I said, you don't know me anything, but I'm going to get him here. I go and I get these two Russian guys to drive in the middle of the night to the guy's house in Germany.
And get him?
And they get him. And so the next thing you hear in the documentary is... it's the French 911. They're like, there's a man, he's duct taped, he's wrist, he's bound, he's almost dead, he's been beaten about the head. Like, they show his shirt, like, totally covered in blood.
Where do you want us to drop him?
Basically. So that's where I was like, I gotta wait till tomorrow when I'm awake. But I hope to God they have, like, justified rage about this, because I was like, there is no better story than just this. And the guy said, he's like, yeah, I've been in prison a couple times. Like, that's my bad French accent. He's like, I've been in jail a few times. He's obviously a mafia guy who's like, I'm going to work pro bono because I believe in this story.
Yeah, whenever there's like a you know, one of the family or the mobsters, if you will, they always get like real cool when there's like questions. They're always like, you know, I got a couple businesses.
I know a couple of Russian guys.
And it's,
There's no money exchanged. We see at the end of things if anybody...
Yeah, we're just going to handle some business real quick. And that spans the globe. Families getting into it.
I was so fired up, though, because I was like, oh, a parent, that's what you do when you're a parent. You like see another parent that injustice done to their child and you're like, how can I help you? And literally I'll do anything. You tell me what you need to have happen.
Sometimes you just need someone like that. I think it's real country in my head. Like, it's like, well, you got a cousin. I will tell you, when my dad, who was investigating his own adoption, he was trying to look to find his like biological mother. The story goes that mother got pregnant, and then she was young.
Okay.
And then there were five older brothers, and they literally all got into this like old ass pickup, and they were just gonna go kill him. The guy that got her pregnant. They were like, there's only one way to solve this, and that's to murder the guy that did it. Like,
yeah.
And
that's very, very old school.
It's very old school, there is a charm to it.
Yeah.
There's a charm to it. And I think the bigger thing is, like, big shout out to that librarian, because I don't know if y'all can – this documentary wrecked me, but – I felt like it was so worth it, but it isn't easy, and there's a lot of triggers. Is the keepers.
Yeah, no.
But let that game, let the storyline of those women coming together to solve the murder of a teacher who they have all experienced such abuse, but they all get together over 60 and they together investigate this crime, and just to see what these very unlikely people who have lived their entire lives apart. You got like a cocktail waitress, you got a lawyer, and they're all 60 or better, and they're like, let's find this fucker that did this to our favorite teacher. And it's like bone chilling. Episode 2 is the
episode
is so boring.
All of a sudden it gets real, real fast.
I literally thought, I'd fallen asleep. Yeah. I was like, I have missed information. Yeah, and then that episode starts and I was like, what?
It hits you fast. But
it hits me fast.
Like when I watch, because I watch the Murdoch murders.
Oh, yeah.
So this isn't going to be all about murder. Maybe it is.
Maybe. Well, it's going to be a little bit of anger, maybe.
It is rage, and there's justified, there's unjustified, but like, I got so mad watching the Murdaugh.
I think because he's like Murdaugh, Meemaw.
Murdaugh. I don't want to say your name right. I'm going to call you Murdaugh.
Okay? Yeah, how about murder?
Murder dog.
Murder dog.
Because that guy, the whole family, like soup to nuts is bad, man.
Yeah.
And I hate to say anything about, you know, the young guy, but at least in the documentary, he is.
You know, it's icky. I didn't enjoy.
But, this is what I was going to say.
The video clip of that one was very compelling. I was like,
you won't get away with it now. You can't get away with it. People try to get away with it, but here's what you have. People who read all this stuff.
Yep.
People who like, because I could see
web
you.
Web sleuths.
I could see you going in for like a labrum replacement and being like, oh, that doctor's name rings a bell. And
100%.
Then you're not sleeping for like 4 nights to figure out where you heard that name. And if that guy is not legal to practice law because of like an Orange County murder or whatever, you're going to find it.
You're right. Turns out that my labrum guy was in the movie Grease, but I knew his name from something.
Oh,
but anyway,
The first one or the second?
The second one. The first
Which one.
Which one? He's in the first Grease.
Okay.
He's in the band.
But second Doctor.
Oh, second Doctor. Okay. Yeah. All anyway, right. That's where my the investigation turned on for me.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah. But yes, the Murdoch cases, I felt like it just, it's like you said, it just felt like all bad.
You Icky. Wanted justice for that girl.
You wanted justice the for accident. The girl. And like, I wanted justice for the nanny.
Yes.
Like, let's not even rewind the clock to the nanny. I'm like, she gave everything to your family. You used her death to make money. You intimidated those children who are special needs. Like, you are just bad to the bone,
bad
my
to
friend.
The bone. Irredeemable. Actually, I mean, all of that family, both boys probably would have been irredeemable were it not for that nanny. Because they're so – this. I hate to get into this, but I have to get into it because, you know, this is real life and this is a thing that I like to talk about is
– Here we go.
I don't like men who just are rageful and angry. Nope. I don't like it. I don't like it because I think it all comes down to, like, physical violence.
Yep.
I feel like that's the underlying fear that we all have of a really mad man.
Yep.
And we're not cavemen anymore, so why do we have to deal with that shit?
Right? I actually have a pretty good story about that, and you know about it, but I wasn't prepared to talk about it because I was really messed up from it for like, okay, so here's speaking to men who rage, and this episode is not meant to be like, hateful towards men, but there is a thing among some who are like a little blind to the fact that simply because they're big and because they're men, there is a level of intimidation that sort of comes with that. Full stop.
Yeah, it's a biological fact.
It's a biological fact.
Even if a guy's not that big, he's got that like weird Chuck Liddell body where he's like, he can still throw a punch. And I don't want him raging at me.
Right. And like, the world is unpredictable and things are scary. And like, for me, it comes out in like I can remember specifically one perfect example is I remember we were being interviewed by a dude and he was not our crowd.
Not
he was
our not, demo.
Not our demo. And he at one point sort of like was kind of like snarling his lip at us. Like, why are you guys on? Why would anybody come to a show and see you guys? And you're like, well, fuck you, buddy. I ain't reading your paper.
Can I set it up? No,
yes.
he was one of these radio DJs in small Midwestern town. And he was looking to belittle us at any given opportunity. So he was like, hey, do your husbands ever just tell you ladies to shut the
up.
Hell up?
And I remember like trying, I polited ourselves through it. The only reason I didn't lose my shit is because you and I were not in the same room. For one of the very few interviews where we had to do it apart because it was on radio, we had to be in separate rooms. Because I think had we been together, we would have been like, let's take this guy down.
Someone would have been like, I'm sorry, did you say that to my girl?
You say that?
And I would have been like,
fuck you
we
up.
Need one of those Hannibal Lecter like dollies and the mask thing because she's about to lose her mind on this guy.
But I'm not – here's the thing though. I think – that people might think I am somebody who might be quote unquote a hothead. And I think I am in some regards, but what I have proven to myself over and over is that I get very scared and I hate the way I react. And I think I hate it more because I know how much power it gives the other person. And I think so what I'm trying to say is for me, this was a terrible experience. I'm not over it. I'm just going to talk about it because I think it's worth sharing. So my son goes to a school that's kind of far away, and there was a whole bevy of things that were happening, but Jen and I were trying to podcast. My husband called me and was like, Finn needs a ride to the game. I was like, the school is supposed to provide it. Well, they didn't. So I'm at Jen's. I'm like, great. Here's what I'll do.
Like rushes.
Just one of those rushes that's like, but I felt very calm. I was like, okay, have him hang at the school. I'll be there. I'm closer to his school here to there than I was. And I was like, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. So my husband's in a little bit of a panic. I finally go get Finn. I said, we're going to drive to Calabasas where your game is. It's a little bit of a drive. Finn's very nervous at this point. He's got a game. He wants to see both teams play. He gets to be on the A team, and he wants to watch his buddies on the B team. So I have not eaten at all at this point. And I'm like, Jen and I have been podcasting all day. We're working really hard. It was definitely a little stressful, but I wasn't frantic. I just remember being—
It's just one of those mom days where you're days. Like, oh, I am— Boom to boom to boom to boom.
Right.
To
and
boom.
If like anything, I was definitely in my own like universe. I was like, you've got this to do. You got to get there. You got to get his bag. You got to, you know, whatever. And it was
fine.
You
were probably too like, I'm going to get him there safely and try and zone out him griping at me to get there. Yeah.
You know, mom, am I going to be late? And I'm like, good Lord, I got to get you a better watch, man. Like, you are going to be fine. So it was just one of those mom days. So anyway, I dropped him off of at his game. And I think to myself, I haven't eaten all day. I'm going to feel better if I eat. I'm going to go through a drive-thru. Yes, I said it. And I'm going to go. So I take a ride on this.
I'm going to go through right now, just so you know. No shame.
So I start driving on this pretty busy four-lane street. But it's like busy. There's no stoplights between the two major stoplights. So people are going fast. It's a lot of traffic. It's like LA traffic in the middle of a neighborhood, honestly. And I remember thinking, like, I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw this man. And he was really close to my car. And he was doing that thing where he kind of, like, goes from the left to the right and the left to the right, like, trying to, like, get around me. And I remember thinking, like, buddy, just pass me. I'm, like, going the speed limit. I don't have.
Isn't the Fast and the Furious.
Right, but I wasn't.
Even if it is for you, it's not for me.
And that's literally about as long as I thought about it. And I remember just then I started spacing off and thinking about where I'm going to find a McDonald's because I do like a quarter pounder with cheese on occasion.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I realize the guy's not behind me and I can sense him to my right. And I think, why doesn't he just pass me? Like I'm not speeding and I'm also not going too slow.
You guys, she is not a speeder.
I'm not, but I'm also not a slow driver. I take great pride in the fact that I follow all of the given rules and signs.
Recommended speed all
and
the way.
I know the guidebook. Like I'm not messing around. Like I could work for the DMV.
She and her husband honestly fight about not driving in the right lane on the freeway because that is
it's the merge exit lane.
It's the merge lane,
man. So you don't drive in the merge lane. It's inconsiderate.
She is dead on about driving.
I don't mess around.
There's no gray area. She does the right thing.
I just like to be safe in a car. Thank you very much. So I'm in my car. I'm in my head. I'm like thinking I'm going to go get a burger. I got this guy to my right and I'm like, wow, I really sense that he's close to my car. And like all of a sudden, I'm like listening to like Sirius XM. I'm probably soft chinning at this point where like I'm a little bit, mouth's a little bit open. And all of a sudden then I start to hear him and I look over and his window is down and he's screaming at me. And he's not just screaming at me. He's calling me the C word. He's calling me the B word. He's like super mad. And I literally I'm caught off guard because I don't understand this reaction to me driving because there's been no like back and forth. There's been nothing.
You weren't engaging him in
absolutely not.
Fight.
But then I did. He's like, you crazy fucking, you know, all this. Yeah. And I go, what the fuck? And I just kind of put my hands up like, what the fuck?
Oh,
I didn't say.
That is not an act of aggression.
That is
like
I was literally
one tenth of what he was doing.
It would have been better if I wouldn't have said anything, but that doesn't matter because I did, and it doesn't give him the right to do what happened next.
That's where I get really mad.
He cut off my car as hard as you could without me getting in an accident, and he came to a grinding halt. So he cuts into my lane. He comes to a grinding halt. I push on my brakes, and my car like does the thing where the ass end goes up really high, and then I hear all the cars behind me go... like all the way back.
It's And there's no backing up.
There's no backing up. I'm probably at this point 15 feet away from his car. And I was shocked. I was like, this person just stopped traffic to show me how mad he is at me. And then I thought to myself, what the fuck is going to happen next? And that's when he got out of his car. And I thought at that point that,
I mean, people are crazy.
Yeah. I just thought, I remember thinking he's walking to my car and I remember he's going to hurt my face. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And then I remember thinking, I'm really happy Finn's not in the car with me. And because at this point, I'm like, well, this person is doing the thing that, like, you should never, ever do. You're getting out of a car during super, super, super busy time. Like, you're putting everybody in so much danger. You're putting me, like, you're walking to my car and he is screaming at me, I'm going to fucking kill you. And so then he gets to the end of my car. And all I do is I tried to use my phone to record it. It was like my hands went to nubs. Yeah. And I was rendered useless. I became like a turtle. I literally just like sank in my seat and watched this whole thing play out. My body went cold. I knew my windows were up. And all I kept thinking was, if he tries to hit through my glass, he's going to cut the shit out of himself. And that makes me happy. And like, I was like, so he came up and he just, with all of his might, literally hit the front of my car as hard as he could with his fist. And then luckily, I don't know if this is what was the deal breaker, but there was a woman next to me and she was in a white SUV and she just screamed at him and she goes, "Hey!" And he looked at her. Now, I don't know if she was running a camera or if like it caught him, realized what was happening. So then I'm so shocked at this, that this thing just happened. And I can't barely drive my car.
Because you're shaking.
I'm weird. I'm like numb and weird and cold.
Yeah,
and then I went into this
fight flight response. Yep. You don't have any blood at your extremities.
Nope. And then I went into a parking lot and I thought about what happened and I kept replaying it in my head. And then I just started bawling and I couldn't recover and I didn't get any food and I didn't get my burger because that dick like scared me so much. And I was so mad that I didn't have that, like, I wanted to have that like really great reaction. Like, I didn't know what that would be other than I would just get myself hurt. But do you know what I mean? I just felt like a sitting duck. I felt because of the rage of someone else and the fear that he instilled in me that I was a sitting duck. Now, that guy goes home probably to a family and that woman has to deal with him.
Yeah.
And so I fucking hope he take him, you know, like, that's it. I want somebody from another village to go get that guy and fucking deliver him to somewhere else because that's what he's got coming. I really have no sympathy. I have no compassion.
You don't get
it was
to
awful.
Do that.
You don't get to do that. Because guess what I did? I couldn't fucking pull myself together. I went to my son's game and I guess I looked like I kept wringing my hands. I was among new parents and one of the moms was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, I kind of don't think I am. I didn't really want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I didn't really talk about it with anybody. I was so messed up. I couldn't talk about it with Jen because I kept crying. Like, that is very – I don't think that's like me to, like
– No, but that was – it was violent. You had a trauma – that's trauma. That's
I know.
A trauma response that your body reacted in a way that, like, your brain's not going to, like, engage in that moment because your body's like, I'm just going to protect the brain and the organs right now. That's what – fight flight response is. It's just like, and you like, honestly, like clamming up. It's like, what's that thing they say with bears? If it's brown, flush it down. That's not it. What did they say with bears? Okay.
Bears are, don't leave out your stuff when you're camping because they'll ruin the fuck
God.
Out of your.
What, no, it's like.
Don't fuck with them.
The meanest bears you don't fight with, you act like your dad. It's like black fight back.
Oh, yeah.
White good night because they'll fight you.
Yeah.
And then the other, like it's like a grizzly bear. You act like you're dead or they'll kill you. Or they'll probably kill you.
Black bears, I know you're supposed to stand still. Is it black bear?
I don't know.
Anyway.
You guys, there's a really clever saying and I wish I could remember it in this moment, but like your body tells you like, oh, that's what kind of threat this is. Like your best response is to like clam up. And that was the smartest response. Like there's nothing you could have done. I mean, the best thing happened in the worst case scenario. And I mean, you want to always like think about it to know like, how could I have been safer? But you didn't do anything. This guy just felt like he could exert his whatever rage. It had nothing to do with
you. It was so much rage. I've never seen it. And also, I think when
I hope he gets syphilis in his eyeballs and he starts to rot from the eyes down. And like doctors give no shits and just he has this painful, slow
thank you
death.
You're a
that
good
like
friend.
Saves everyone from who he is because he that's who he is.
I just thought it made me think about so many things about like the you know, I had a bad incident in my car. That guy creates terror to somebody else. Like women who live in fear of men.
Can you imagine when his Wi-Fi doesn't work at his house?
Like, fuck.
Fucking baby town, man. Yeah. I can't.
And that's the thing. I feel so much. I feel like this is when I want to like, I wish I could let, I always use this example when I was a kid, when I felt like I was getting picked on a lot, that I always wished like, oh God, this dates me. Remember the Shaquille O'Neal tennis shoes that pumped the pump? Yeah. I used to have these images
in
my head.
About those, honestly.
I would cope by doing this. I would imagine that I could press something on my shoe and I would get big.
Oh.
And I would think about that. I was, cause I was small and I was super ADHD and I was getting my ass kicked in middle school. And I was like, I'm going to pump myself up. I'm going to get big. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it was the same time as the Shaq shoe, but I think it was about the same time. But I just needed to know that I could manifest something different. And I think what I've learned is that, and this is not a comment on our gender being bad, but I think there is a false sense of expectation that when a woman is in danger, she's supposed to know how to like whip out some Wonder Woman moves and kick the shit out of somebody because she's got good – I don't think that's your first reaction. I think your first reaction when someone is mean and enraged and angry is fucking fear. And, like, I'm sorry. I don't, like, take a fighting position on that. I wish I did. I keep proving that I don't. But I wonder if that's more real than the expectation that I'm supposed to, like, have all these answers. I fucking was a sitting duck. I was a sitting duck.
You're not supposed to. And honestly, if you have that, and I've told my husband about this too. I'm like, because my brother always says to me, he's like, that woman who pulled up and she stopped her car and she's yelling at that guy is me. And I know that it's, I have a trauma response because I spent too much time around angry, weird, fucking violent people.
Yeah.
And my response is, oh, you better make it a hard day for him.
Yeah.
And that's not normal. It's more normal to say like, I'm going to just shut up till this ends and I can drive off.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that you're going to like – and almost every interaction is like that. I wish I could retrain my brain to feel like, what do you win if you win anything here? What do
yeah.
You don't – like the only win is surviving because it's Los Angeles. He could have had a gun. He could have shot you. He could have killed you.
Yeah.
The only win is – you're here to tell the story about
right.
it. You don't have anything to prove. And you know, sometimes I do get so mad and feel like it's such an injustice that I don't want them to win in that moment. And I don't want that to be the way I go out. I got
right.
kids at home, you know? Like, it's – you got to be able to, like – but number one, I don't care how mad you are, dude. You don't get to yell at a woman. You don't get to
get out of your car.
You don't get to physically impose on her. You don't. I like every man in my life, I have said, you don't yell at a woman because the underlying sentiment is I can hurt you.
Yes.
It doesn't
you
matter
don't
what
publicly
it is.
Like and that's that I think was the scariest thing because I was like, oh, the men in my life. This would never go this far.
Yes.
And so right. I'm in uncharted territory. And yeah. how I know that is not how it is for a lot of women out there.
Yeah.
And I just saw that he saw red and I was like, fucking sky's the limit with this guy. Although I don't believe it was his first time behaving like that. I don't think this was a nuanced situation.
No.
I think this was him being the fucking craziest, and maybe I'm not supposed to say that, but I don't fucking care about his feelings.
I think we all agree crazy has nothing to do with mental health. It has to do with like drugs or your like act like a baby.
Yeah.
I have never evolved as a human.
I think my takeaway too is that as I think about it, I'm like, how do I want my daughter, if she were to ever come across that situation, like, how do you prepare somebody for that? Those are conversations that I don't have the answers to. And I fucking think it's disgusting and terrible that she's going to have to deal with something like that someday. And I will, like, if anybody was being hurt, I step in very quickly. But when it is me by myself, I am rendered useless. I want to know how that reaction, I wish I knew how to change that. I don't. So I don't know if I can tell my daughter, like, well, this is what you should, you know, fucking you get yourself, give them a roundhouse kick.
That'll get yourself safe no matter what. You do whatever you have to do to stay safe. Like, I tell my kids all the time, if you are at the park and somebody's trying to, like, steal you, you bite them, you claw their eyes out.
Yeah.
Like, you do all the stuff. You do whatever you have to survive, like, in that moment. And if it means not winning, then fucking lose.
Yeah.
You know, the only way, like, for you to have had success in that, like, instance, is you drive over him or you – which, you know what? Like,
I don't want him to hurt my car because right. I'm leasing it.
Or you drive away and you let him Rumpelstiltskin himself into his horrible life that he already has.
And that's what I did. Yeah. And you're right. Listen, if the tables were turned,
I would feel terrible,
like,
if you drove over him, even if he has a pile of shit, because I guarantee you he probably has, like, eight kids by eight different mothers and he's not making good choices in his life.
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, like, I'm a human and, like, I would respect human life. But, like, make no mistake, had he gotten one inch closer to me and that did happen, I would be in my fucking right. Because, like, he got to the front of my car and he turned around. But that guy gets any closer. I just didn't, like, I'm
did,
like,
the right thing.
Look, I can barely talk about it. I'm like still so jacked up from it.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Ugh. I know these two Russian dudes.
Yeah, they're going to go to the...
So we're going to go to Calabasas.
We're going to take him to France.
We're
going to
make sure he sees...
We're going to beat the shit out of him, put him on a plane.
We're going to bring him to, like, a, you know...
We're going to go to Bellevue. We're going to get a couple... We're going to go to Bellevue.
A couple Bellevue.
We're going to get a couple Bellevue guys, a couple guys from Central City. We're going to work him over.
I mean...
We're going to grab that reporter. We're going to just slap him a couple times, not doing any real harm.
Yeah, no, because he's a danger. He's a piece of shit. And, like, it's... I mean, that's what that guy is. And you're not allowed to do that. That's where raising better
men and women.
Yes.
We're raising, I just heard an interview with Jessica Chastain, and someone said something about her working on a film, and she was saying, like, someone was warning her about how sometimes men can be creepy, and this is... Let me teach you how to deal with that. And she's like, how about this? You teach the men not to not be creepy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think some of this, some people, I roll these conversations. They think, oh, you're overreacting, or this isn't a thing, or some men will be men, or boys will be boys. That shit is bullshit. We're past that. Like,
no.
We're beyond that. We can do better than that. Because you know what? If you don't have these fucking conversations, somebody's a victim or someone is a victimizer. And, like, I think you have to figure out what side of that conversation to have. Like, if you sort of let boys be boys, so to speak, or even girls be girls, like, oh, girls will be catty. No, that is not a fucking excuse.
Yeah.
It's behavior. It's behavior. And if we say certain behavior is okay over and over, what's going to fucking stop them when they become adults?
Nothing.
Nothing.
And if they're doing it in public, it's 10 times if they're worse fucking, at home.
Oh, my
There's
God.
There's no way it's not.
Boy, if this is not a full circle moment right now, and I think I've talked about this before.
Can I tell you that you do have a boogie?
Oh, God.
It's on the right side.
God, always.
It's okay. She got it. You got it. You got it. You're good. You're good.
I've done so many videos with boogers. I just can't. I can't deal with it.
I didn't know if anybody was going to see it.
Very strong bridge of a nose that I do love, but it does carry a lot of weight.
At some point, she would watch
Cargo.
It. She'd be like, "How come you didn't say
Tell
something?"
Me.
So I knew I had to. Like,
I'm sorry you've had to look at that.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine.
I remember when I was five, and I was I don't know their names, so it's fair. I was five, and we were at the Vets Day Parade, which was a big deal in Central City, and there was a couple. There was a man and a woman, and they were having a public fight. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, name calling and screaming. And I remember saying to my mom,
must have been given free natty lights at
right
parade.
I think it was like 9 a.m. So I think everybody was
Probably. But we've all been there.
We've all been there. Point, it's right? cold, you know? Yeah, you're going to take a snort, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I asked my mom. I mean, I can remember like it was yesterday. I was so little. And I remember going, are they enemies? And my mom said, no, they're married.
Oh, God.
And I was like, please, God, in my lifetime, I don't want that. I think public displays of that sort are literally terrifying.
Yeah, because you're like, this is who I am. I can't control this.
Yeah.
Who
I am. You feel the need to yell at a woman in public, I do hope those two guys from France come get you.
Syphilis in your eyeballs.
Syphilis in your eyeballs. I hope I didn't bring anybody's day down. No. I'm okay, you guys. I'm totally okay.
You know what? This is the same reason we like true crime. Like, just women like justice. And, like, when you have kids, you want things to be fair. And, like, it super pisses you off when something happens that is not fair.
And you don't get your, you know.
No. And I know it's true with my husband, too, that he has thought of, like, how women are treated in such a different way. Because we have a daughter.
Yeah.
That he's like, oh, hell no, she's not going to have that happen to her. Because I've been in this situation where, like, you know, X happened or whatever. Or, like, I had a creepy teacher in middle school and he did that. My husband's like, what?
I know.
Like, it's not that weird. Like, when we were growing up, it wasn't uncommon. And he's like, there's no – I'm like, that's what we're going to teach him. There is no way. You don't have to be the victim of this. And listen, I've had my daughter watch Fried Green Tomatoes. There's some spicy language in it.
Wait, why?
Do you remember that movie?
Are you kidding? I've seen it like 18 times.
I know, I was going to say. If you
what the hell
movie,
are you talking about?
Gonna,
I think it's made about me.
I know who you relate to.
I mean, you can understand, like, I'm in love with the brother and then I'm in love with the sister. You know, like, there's a whole, like.
It's basically you can use your rage for good or for evil, you guys. And I'm just saying use it for good, right?
Use it for good.
Use it to, like, go, you know what? I've already spent time in prison. I feel the need to go this weekend and
I'm going
to make justice happen. I'm not advocating that, but am I?
Oh, my God.
I don't know, you guys.
Let me say this one thing about true crime, because I wanted to tell you about this, because this is amazing. And this is another shout out. So I'm going to give a –
we'll do double
hot flash.
This never happened.
Never.
Double hot flash.
Actually, it's going to be in real life, triple. Okay, hold on. So my son and I don't agree on much programming in terms of TV.
No, you don't.
And so I'm like, fine, we will broach true crime. Now, there's a lot of things you can criticize about that, I know. And we used to do
Unsolved Mysteries.
We did Unsolved Mysteries old, because there's always like UFOs and weird stuff and the reenactments are terrible.
Yeah.
But then we dabbled in Dateline. And I felt like Dateline was going a little far. So then we brought it back and we found a 2020. Not much better, but a little bit better. And we found one today, a 2020 today. And the Moms and Murders girls covered the story for 2020. It was so awesome.
Amazing.
And
we did their podcast.
We've done their podcast. Yeah. So it was so neat to see these two women. Like, they had investigated this crime so much.
You were a part of it,
they
ladies.
Were a part of it. They were getting interviewed. And I was like,
dream come
true. Like, they had their magazines out and they're talking about all the details of the case.
Amazing.
And it was a fantastic, wonderful case that wasn't too far. And at one point, it was my husband, my daughter, my son, and I made crescent rolls and we watched true crime.
It's so addictive that my husband, who used to make fun of me, I told him, I explained my rules. I'm like, this can't be about kids. I can't feel like anything's too close to home. Mm-hmm. I need to resolve to
it. We got to have the guy who done it.
We need to know at the end of it. And so he started watching a couple docs with me and he's like, hooked. He really is. And I'm like, there's no higher stakes, but you know the worst thing has happened.
Yeah.
And you're going to like find the resolve and the justice at the end. And that's that show. I can't recommend it enough. I'm rewatching the episodes. Have you been watching them?
No. Say it again.
Oh, God.
I knew. Wait.
It's the name of another show I always forget.
It's like this is how I saw it, or this was the murder, this is how it went down.
Oh, shit.
I was the investigator.
God, I watched too many of them, you guys.
I know, they all loop together. My husband can't handle them. So I turned him on to My Favorite Murder, and then he came home and he had watched one that I actually think, there's one podcast I can't listen to, and I won't say it because I don't want to talk shit, but like, they have like interviews with the victims. It's just too much for me.
No, I can't. I
need it to be reporting, not actual like victim.
I like the science. Like, I like the police work.
Yeah, I listened to one where there was like, I heard from the victim and I was like, I don't have it. And so my husband did that and he certainly doesn't have it. So he was like, wanted to be like one of the French guys. And he was like, I need to go.
Yeah.
Put that, cause he is like an Irishman with, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, go throw that. He's throw those.
Barrel chested. Those arms are much stronger. You just say, than
go, Colin Sweeney will go pull somebody and put them in the back of his truck.
He's a real team player.
Yeah. He was.
But yeah, I mean, that's.
Listen, I'm just saying, shout out to the moms in murder. Shout out to the French guys who get nice worked job. On. Shout out to the dad.
And the Russian guys. Let's the not Russian leave them guys, out because they were like, hey.
The Russian guys. The, yeah, I love
the
them.
The French guy was like the kingpin, but then the Russian guys were like, you know what?
You know what?
We've got duct tape and we like to punch, so
and,
let's go.
And we have records already, so we're good.
Yeah, and one of these days, I will watch the end of it if you don't get to it. Oh, my God. Hold on, Tony. I got to look up what it's called because don't I need to tell everybody so they can watch it?
Oh.
My Daughter's Killer. That's what it's called.
Oh.
Okay.
That's the title.
You guys got it. Okay. Watch the show called My Daughter's Killer. I'm not to the end of it yet. It's so good, you guys.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
It's so good. Okay. You don't worry your readers because you're going to have to do subtitles the whole time, but I think we just podcasted.
Okay. I think we podcasted too. Stay safe out there.
Stay safe. Let's teach your girls and boys.
Bye.
Bye.